Recorded live at the festival and featuring works from the avant-garde pioneers to the musical inventors shaping the future of the art itself. Join me, Robert Wolby, for an adventure of discovery on Here and Now this Saturday night from 10 o'clock on BBC Radio 3 and available to download on the BBC iPlayer radio app.
We're broadcasting between 1993 on FM, we're on digital radio and we're live online. It's 11 o'clock and now Jazz on 3, the best in contemporary jazz, presented by Jez Nelson.
If you can imagine King Kong on top of the Empire State Building with the little lady there in the film, you know, potential for Wipeout is there. On the paper, it looks like a disaster, but it's listening to each other and understanding each other and giving each other time. That's what it's all about for me.
Well, we like a bit of jeopardy here on Jazz on 3. It's part of what makes live improvised music so special. So tonight on the programme, turning a potential disaster into a triumph, we've some previously unbroadcast material from Barry Guy, the veteran British bass player and composer in residency last year at Café Otto. Performing with his new orchestra, Barry presents the UK premiere of Amphi, a gripping suite that dangles the delicate sound of Baroque violin amidst a 12-piece ensemble of rugged improvisers. Plus, we've music from the high-energy Topos Quartet, a hand-picked collective plucked from the orchestra, featuring some of Europe's finest, saxophonist Evan Parker, pianist Agusti Fernandez, and drummer Paul Litton, soaring alongside Guy in full force. But first, joining me in the studio for the duration is jazz journalist and friend of this programme, Kevin Legendre. Hi, Kevin.
Hiya, Jazz.
Good to see you as ever. Both of us have been listening intently and pleasurably to a stack of new releases, and we're going to get stuck straight in with something we've been waiting for a while now. You tell us about this.
Sons of Kemet's new album, it's called Lest We Forget What We Came Here To Do, and all I'll say is that there's no difficult second album syndrome for them. This is a great follow-up to Burn. We'll be right back.
two of the best drummers in the modern jazz business, Tom Skinner and Seb Rochford, in a kind of playful end to that piece, in memory of Samir Awad from the album Lest We Forget What We Came Here To Do. The new one from Sons of Kemet, Shebaka Hutchins on saxophones, and Theon Cross, a new addition to the band, at least a new addition to the studio side of the band, playing tuba. And Kevin, I would say that when you put this on, immediately recognisable as Sons of Kemet, if you've heard the last album or seen them live, and yet definitely a progression.
There's a signature sound that they have. To me, this feels a little bit more produced, a bit more sculpted than the first album. Seb Rochford produced it, so there's that side to it, which is quite exciting. But also, I think the other thing as well is that the writing has definitely moved on. I think they really have, or Shebaka in the way that he writes, he has this ability to actually come up with these laments, these very deep, very emotive themes, yet at the same time, you've got this strong current of dance music right underneath it, as you can hear. There's obviously a lot of intellect in what Shebaka does. I mean, you've interviewed him, you know he's a very, very smart guy. And I like the way that he's building in all of these different cross-cultural references. So this is music, but it also taps into literature, taps into politics, taps into sociology. I think all of those things kind of combined, they create this very rich stew.
A nice quote from Shebaka about the record. He says, on some level, our duty is to give the audience what they want. On another, it's to prize open those expectations and put something else in there. And then on another, it's to forget all of that and just create euphoria. And of course, there are those moments when it is indeed very euphoric and trance-like.
That's the dance. And then maybe people will go away and read the books afterwards.
OK, if you'd like to see Sons of Kemet live, they're going to be touring Europe next month before returning to the Hare and Hounds in Birmingham on the 27th of October. Then they've got gigs at the Rich Mix in London, the Cube Cinema Bristol, the Casimir in Liverpool, and the Band on the Wall in Manchester throughout November. We'll put a link to all of their tour dates up on the Jazz on 3 website. And by the way, we had a great session with Shebaka playing with another fine drummer, Mark Juliana, on this programme a little while back. You can still see the video for that session up on the Radio 3 YouTube channel. Coming up in about 10 minutes' time, we've the first of two performances from bass player and composer Barry Guy, and then later in the show, we have a preview of something I've definitely been enjoying listening to over the last few weeks, and that's Brad Meldow's 10 Years Solo Live Box, which is going to be coming out next month on Nonesuch Records. But Kevin, you have come holding another record, which I would put in the same category, in a funny sort of way, of records we've been waiting for, but this one we've been waiting for a long time. I've been thinking for a while, what would this band sound like? I'll tease it there, and you can fill in the
gaps. Wayne Shorter record, lo and behold, without Wayne? So it's the rhythm section that plays in his quartet. So it's the trio now, John Patitucci on double bass and electric bass as well, Brian Blade on drums, and Danilo Perez on piano and keyboards. Children of the Light is the name of the record, and it's a very, very nice piece of work. I would say, though, as much as the Wayne Shorter reference is important and that raises expectation, that the other key figure for me here is Chick Corea, because he is the connection between Patitucci and Brian Blade. Patitucci was in that great trio that Chick had, the acoustic band with a K.
Yeah, and the electric band as well.
And the electric band as well. And Brian Blade is also in his current trio. And he's been a big influence on Danilo, obviously. So I think that the kind of spirit of Chick is here, present and correct in this music as well.
Okay, let's see if we can hear that, and we'll talk a little bit more about this release after we hear Sunburn and Mosquito from Children of the Light.
Thank you.
Album is out now. It's called Children of the Light, and that was a piece called Sunburn and Mosquito. Danilo Perez on piano, John Patitucci on bass, and Brian Blade on drums. As Kevin the Genre said before, they are the rhythm section for the Wayne Shorter Quartet. And of course, if you've ever seen that band live or even listened to them on record, there is, to coin a phrase, that incredible sense of understanding and telepathy between them all. When you're playing with someone like Wayne Shorter, you're never quite sure in what direction he's going to take
it. It's being really responsive, isn't it?
Yeah, and you just have to go on those amazing sort of journeys that he takes you on. So they've played together a lot. They have this understanding, and that really comes through in this record, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Having said that, it's very different. To me, this feels like a much more pared down, a much more contained kind of approach to writing than what you get with the Wayne Shorter Quartet, where it's all about expansion and stretching out. And it has a very hushed, very delicate feel. It's quite chamberish, but it's really gutsy as well. And I like that balance between the intimacy of the music and the momentum.
It would be a nice thing, wouldn't it, if, you know, as Wayne gets into the kind of his older years, if this band continues beyond, you know, the touring Wayne Shorter Quartet.
Why not? Why not? I mean, the understanding between the musicians is there. And this is a strong statement, I think, for the trio. This is a good debut.
Right, time to get into the first of our featured live sets of the evening, which come from the bass player and composer Barry Guy. We recorded him back in May last year during his residency at Cafe Otto, and there was just so much good music committed to tape that night that we thought we'd return to it. Barry Guy came to the fore as an improvising bass player in the late 1960s, playing with the likes of Howard Riley, Derek Bailey, Evan Parker and the Spontaneous Music Ensemble, and helping to shape the sound of improvised music as we know it today. Over the next 25 minutes, we'll be hearing from Barry's new orchestra, a 12-piece group of players from across Europe, including his partner, Baroque violin player Maya Homburger. In this 7-part suite, Amphi, the focus is not, as you might think, on big sounds. Instead, the writing aims to bring the large ensemble into a chamber music setting. So before we hear the music, here's Barry Guy himself to explain a little more.
Well, Amphi was basically a request from my wife, Maya Homburger, the Baroque violinist. It was a request, I write a piece for her and the orchestra. Now, basically the chemistry is quite strange here because we've got a Baroque violin, lightly strung and very fragile, and the might of the orchestra behind it, of brass, saxophones and drums. On the paper it looks like a disaster, but I've tried to score the piece very lightly. So individual voices, i.e. individual instruments, are very, very prominent and very in a kind of a chamber music environment with Meyer. It's listening to each other and understanding each other and giving each other time. That's what it's all about for me.
Kevin Legendre, you weren't there on the night, but you've had a chance to listen to this concert in advance. Quite a challenge to put that delicate instrument at the heart of this big ensemble. What should we listen out for?
I think the Baroque violin of Meyer Homburger is very, very impressive, very prominent throughout. I love the range that she has. At times, very, very choppy, very turbulent. And then at other times, it's just so eerie and very caressing. And I love the way that she's enveloped by the horns as well, the trombone in particular. So it's a great range of textures, a great range of sounds.
So with Meyer Homburger playing Baroque violin, here is Barry Guy and his new orchestra and Amphi.
Thank you. Thank you.
Some lightning fast but nonetheless beautiful playing of the Baroque violin from Meyer Homburger as part of Barry Guy's new orchestra playing a piece called Amphi, recorded for Jazz on 3 at Café Otto. Barry Guy played the double bass, Agustí Fernández piano, Evan Parker, Jörg Wickihelder and Per Texas Johansson were on saxophones, Hans Koch was on bass clarinet, Herb Robertson trumpet, Johannes Bauer trombone, Per Ecker Holmhander was on tuba and Paul Litton and Raymond Strid played percussion. And he did a good job of keeping that powerhouse of a band in control, like a tightly wound spring at times, weren't they? And then they kind of leapt out at certain moments.
Very, very precise. And as he said himself, it's all about the listening and really being responsive.
Well, we've more coming up from Barry Guy before the end of the programme tonight, performing as the Topos Quartet alongside saxophonist Evan Parker, pianist Agustí Fernández and drummer Paul Litton. Quite a group. But I should say, if you'd like to experience Barry Guy's chamber orchestra writing in a live context, you can hear him unveil a new piece for the Aurora Orchestra at the Science Museum in London this coming Saturday, the 3rd of October. That's part of a new series of commissions inspired by the museum's world-renowned collection. The orchestra will be playing Barry's imagining of Charles Babbage's difference engine, which was a sort of large mechanical calculator developed in the mid-1800s. And that sounds intriguing.
It certainly does. I'd like to see that.
I imagine that will be very good. Right, time now for some more new releases. Here's something that Kevin stuck in front of me a week or so ago, and I've loved listening to this, Kevin.
It's one of my favourite records at the moment. It's by a trumpeter, vocalist and santur player called Amir El-Safar. Record is called Crisis. It's on the Great Pi label from New York, which, as you know, we're a fan of. And I feel that he's one of those musicians on the label who's kind of not been given the spotlight that he deserves, because this group, which is called Two Rivers, has been around for a while now. They've had a couple of very, very strong releases. The Two Rivers debut, that was the album which was recorded in 2007, and Inanna, which came out in 2011, both really great records. So this is basically an exploration of Iraqi and Middle Eastern music through the prism of jazz, with great sophistication in terms of the structures. And the piece that we're going to listen to, Fly Over Iraq, which tells its own story. I mean, the album, as the title suggests, Crisis, is about the situation in Iraq and the Middle East. But you listen to this piece, which is in 15-4, and you hear this rush of energy, and this, it makes me want to dance. And I think, as Sons of Kemet do, that the way that they combine something which is quite cerebral, quite deep, quite thoughtful, with something which, again, is very, very physical, very charged, it really works. Thank you.
That's Amir El Safa playing the trumpet on his new album with the Two Rivers Ensemble. Occasionally you hear efforts to combine the music of the Middle East with jazz that don't quite pull it off, but I think that's what happens when you get it right. And it's got such a sort of traditional, as you say, sort of dance feel to it, but at the same time, being on Pi Records, it's got such a kind of contemporary, edgy feel to it. So tell us about the stringed instrument there, because, you know, that just sounds so modern, but yet it's very traditional at the same time.
The bouzouk, which is a long-necked Arabic lute as opposed to the short-necked oud, not that I'm an expert, but it's played by Tarek Abushi. And I think the combination of sounds, that metallic sort of stinging sound from the strings with the trumpet, the way those two instruments combine, the brass and the strings, I think is just gorgeous.
And a great drummer that we've heard many times on this programme, Nasheed Waits.
Nasheed Waits sounding really good on that unusual time signature, playing in 15, but with all of the funkiness and the drive and the ability to just throw in those little fills and those roles when it's appropriate to keep pushing the music forward.
It's out on Pi Records, and as you mentioned before we listened to it, what a great label, Pi. Yeah. I mean, when you think about sort of labels that have a distinctive sound, and Pi over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, has just sort of crept along, putting out fine releases that all sort of fall within a broad sound world, beautifully produced, kind of complex yet sort of, I don't know, bouncy, great music. Steve Coleman, Henry Threadgill, we heard Liberty Elman on the show last week. And
Jonathan Finlayson. I'd say they have this ability to come up with music which is very, very original, very creative, yet I have to stress there's this visceral quality, this way of combining the physical and the cerebral, which really works. And it is now a key label as far as I'm concerned. When you look at the catalogue, everything that they've released since their inception, it's very, very strong.
You're listening to Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson. My guest tonight is the broadcaster and journalist Kevin Legendre. We're going to have more music from Barry Guy performing live at Café Otto a little later on. Well, next up we have another selection from Kevin. He wanted to play something from the new album from Michael Janish, who's a bass player and also the founder of Whirlwind Records. Actually, we're not going to play the new album because we recorded Michael in this project a couple of weeks ago at the Vortex. You can hear most of that gig on Jazz Lineup this coming Saturday. But Kevin, we thought we'd do a sneak preview of that concert, and it's the same project.
It's the same project with slightly different personnel, and I think this is probably Michael's best album to date. Inspired to a certain extent by Pi Records, which he's been listening to a lot. He's a big fan of people like Jonathan Finlayson. And this is definitely the most ambitious music that he's written. The electronics from Alex Bonney, the keyboards, all the different soundscapes that come in. And this very, very punchy, very powerful band as well, with great horn arrangements, great rhythm playing. It all comes together very nicely.
Okay, see what you make of this. Some kind of modern-day fusion from Michael Janish and an excerpt from Paradigm Shift, recorded live at the Vortex. We'll be right back. The band are called Paradigm Shift, and that's an excerpt from the Paradigm Shift Suite, recorded at the Vortex in North London a few weeks ago. And the group is led by the bass player Michael Janisch, who switched during the night between electric and upright bass. Jason Yard was on alto saxophone. Paul Booth was on tenor flute. And at one point during the evening, he even played the didgeridoo. Cedric Hanriot was on keyboards and piano. Andrew Bain, drums. And Alex Bonney on trumpet and electronics, sampling the sounds of others and playing around with them throughout the night. And Kevin, the suite goes through lots of different phases. You had a glimpse there of the energy and the power and into that more mellow section, but it goes on a journey.
To coin a cliche, it is a journey. It goes through lots of different scenes, as it were, and it's a very strong piece of work.
And you can hear more from the Paradigm Shift Suite on Jazz Lineup here on BBC Radio 3 on Saturday night. I should mention that the other band that were performing on that night was piano player Tom Corley's band Curios, featuring a very special guest, Ian Ballamy, who was at one time Tom's teacher. And they played some music for the very first time on that night. It was a good gig. You'll be able to hear that on Jazz on 3 later in the autumn. We've time for one more new release coming up before the end of the show, something from the upcoming Brad Meldow 10 Years Solo Live box set. But time now to return to Café Otto for more music from bass player Barry Guy, who's joined now by a smaller group, some long-standing free improv partners, Evan Parker on saxophone, Paul Litton on drums, and Augusti Fernandez on piano. Of course, Barry's relationship with Parker and Paul Litton goes right back to the 1980s, when they became one of the best known and most widely travelled free improv groups in the UK. And Kevin, I thought listening to this and hearing it on the night, some sort of improv things take a while to get going while people are kind of getting used to each other. But there's
it's
a sense of this,
out of the blocks,
it's like you're into the middle of a conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, it just bursts into life. This is real high energy music. At times, to me, it felt as if they were trying to keep a lid on a hornet's nest or something. It was just...
It's all that pent-up
buzzing
energy from the first part of the
game. Yeah, it's really, really strong stuff. And I love that constant throb of the drums and bass, the fact that they're always moving, yet at the same time they're keeping very, very tight.
The group are called the Topos Quartet, and this piece, retrospectively named, because, of course, it's totally improvised music, is Open Systems. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
like a wonderful all-engulfing storm blowing through Café Otto in North London. Recorded for Jazz on 3, that was the Topos Quartet. Barry Guy on bass, Agustí Fernández on piano, Paul Litton drums, and Evan Parker on saxophone. That was called Open Systems. That's nearly it for this week's Jazz on 3. I just wanted to mention that applications are now open for the second ever BBC Young Musician Jazz Award. Last year, saxophonist Alexander Bone took the title, and this year it could be you. The competition is open to both instrumentalists and vocalists, and as I say, it could be you. Well, you have to be a UK resident and you have to be aged 21 or under on the 1st of January 2016. That takes me
it's
out.
Definitely
of the
not me.
You can apply for the first round of judging by making a short video submission before the 20th of November. Full details of how to apply, as well as clips from last year's finalists, can be found at bbc.co.uk/young musician. It'll be exciting to see who enters that. Next week on Jazz on 3, we're going to be paying tribute to the piano player John Taylor, who sadly passed away at the end of the summer. He was a figure who was truly loved across the jazz world for his gentle, masterly, lyrical touch. And we're going to be talking to some of his dearest musical friends, students and colleagues, people including the drummer Peter Erskine and fellow pianist Richard Fairhurst and Michael Volney. And I'll be joined in the studio by The Guardian's John Fordham to listen back through the Jazz on 3 archive and enjoy some of our favourite John Taylor performances recorded for this programme over the years. If you have a favourite John Taylor album or a particular track that you hold close to your heart, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at jazzon3@bbc.co.uk or tweet at @bbcjazzon3, and we'll start to compile a playlist of these suggestions. Kevin, a closing thought from you on John Taylor, a favourite moment in his career?
I actually love some of the work he did in the late 60s when he's playing electric piano, which is not something that you associate him with. And also the group Azimuth. To me, that's one of the great groups in British jazz.
With Kenny Wheeler and Norman Winston. Yeah. Well, we'll certainly be hearing some music from Azimuth on next week's programme. Kevin, thank you very much for being my guest tonight.
My pleasure as always.
We'll see you again soon. Thanks also to my producers tonight, Alex Watson and Chris Alcombe. Jazz on 3 is a Something Else production for BBC Radio 3. I'll leave you with another of the world's great piano players, Brad Meldow, who's set to release, wait for it, an 8-LP collection chronicling his solo performances in Europe over the last 10 years, including some recordings made for this very programme. One of the hallmarks of his career is recording what you might call contemporary standards, including works from people like Radiohead, but also the Beatles. And here to close tonight's programme is his version, recorded in Girona, of Blackbird. From me, Jez Nelson, a very good night. Thank you.
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. The 2013 BBC Proms began with a surge of natural energy inspired by the sea. The Peter Grimes Sea Interludes by Benjamin Britten and Vaughan Williams' Mighty Sea Symphony. And this is that prom, combining the 300-strong Proms Youth Choir with the BBC Symphony Chorus and Orchestra conducted by Zachary Oromo. They set off with the BBC commission for the opening night, Harmony by Julian Anderson. Music that forgoes what might be thought of as the traditional blazing brass or clashing cymbals for a peaceful and thoughtful reflection on music, time and eternity.